Chapter 3, Discredited Witness Statements, The Forgotten Holiday, Oblitus Feriatum. In this chapter I'm going to tell you about the weeks before I was arrested. You see that it was an open secret in some circles that I was going to be arrested. This chapter describes what happened between late 2022 and February 2023. John Glover had been writing a series of articles in the Scottish Daily Express, featuring my note for SCAI, dated the 1st of April 2019, the magic circle material, and other related stuff. The articles began in about October to November 2022, and went on after Christmas into January 2023. So these issues were kicking about, and were fairly high profile in the Scottish media. Russell Finlay MSP asked a series of parliamentary questions of the relevant SNP ministers, mainly of the Deputy First Minister John Swinney MSP. One of the questions was about my note for SCAI dated 1st of April 2019. He was really trying to get some leverage in relation to questions about Hardy, allegations about him, and the trams inquiry, which Hardy had been chairing since it began in 2013. Ruth Charteris KC, the Solicitor General for Scotland, replied to a question about the note to effect that since the note and its contents were under investigation by COPFS, it wasn't possible to make any comment or give substantive reply to the question. I had reported the note to Graham Fraser, Procurator Fiscal for the Scottish Borders Area, on the 3rd of May 2019. This fact is referred to in my public statement dated 3rd of May 2019. You can see it as my pinned tweet on my Twitter handle at Advocate Halley. Graham had reported it direct to Crown Office. I had a discussion with Graham about its contents. Graham Fraser is a decent man and an able and fair prosecutor. He's appeared before me many times when I had been sheriff. I worked from his office when I was a prosecutor in the mid-2000s in order to access the Crown Office intranet. He's even helped me to conduct a prosecution of Goldilocks with the Selkirk Cubs in November 2015. He categorised the note's contents as material for investigation in relation to corruption. That's an accurate assessment of the contents of the note as far as I'm concerned. The Lord President knows about and has had a copy of the note since I sent it to him on the 30th of July 2019. He has taken no action in relation to its contents. Indeed, he has presided over a civil appeal in the BBC against Lady Smith case, in which the note featured. There is the demonstrable corruption he was proposing as a necessary prerequisite in his speech about the Judicial Register of Interests. The note is produced at Chapter 17, later in this book. The point is that Crown Office has had the note since early May 2019. Lady Smith and the SCAI have had it since the 1st of April 2019. The Lord President has had it since the 30th of July 2019 in circumstances that I'll explain later. Dean of Faculty Gordon Jackson KC and Vice Dean Angela Graham KC were sent the note by me in May 2019. I was told from reliable sources, including a solicitor acting in the case, that the note was an agreed production in the judicial review application by the BBC against Lady Smith in 2020 to 22. It's been seen by Swinney when he was DFM. It's been seen by two deans of Faculty of Advocates, Jackson and Dunlop, by two vice deans, Graham and Ranucci, although Dunlop can't remember it, as you'll see later on. It's been seen by two Lord Advocates and two Solicitors General. Many journalists and politicians have seen it. All agree its contents are important and explosive, except those who pretend it doesn't exist. It has never been officially acknowledged or commented upon, even though it clearly falls within the terms of reference of the SCAI. Lady Smith and the groupthink maintain that the SCAI's terms of reference don't include the trafficking of children in care. This is nonsense. It's a really curious position to adopt, and that's being generous. Why, for example, were the Met investigating the use of Hardy's bank accounts when they were far from home in East Lothian and Edinburgh in 1996? They were investigating allegations about the organised trafficking of young people in care. Read the note. Also, Fernithy House, Perthshire. Thousands, maybe up to 30,000, of women aged about 45 and older insist that when they were there as children for respite from hard-pressed homes and Glasgow housing schemes in the 1960s to 1980s, they were put into party dresses and taken to parties where they were sexually assaulted by gentlemen. The wee girls were told to bring their party dresses with them, for goodness sake. This was organised trafficking of children for sex. And guess what? Lady Smith and the groupthink insist the Fornethy housewomen, don't come within the SCAI's terms of reference. It was only respite care. One woman I spoke to was only there twice in her life for two periods of 2 weeks at a time, once when she was 6 and once when she was 13. But the experiences of being sexually abused while in the care of Glasgow's local authority on respite at Fornethy House for those 4 weeks have shaped her whole life. This was the trafficking of wee girls for sexual exploitation. Thousands of them in an organised operation that operated uninterrupted for decades, referred by GPs, for example. And it's not to be investigated. Whether or not prosecutions of individuals are attempted by COPFS is entirely irrelevant. The Fornethy House survivors fall within the SCAI's terms of reference. You'll note that shortly after the publication of this book, the SCAI suddenly announced that, in fact, they were going to consider evidence and invited survivors from Fornethy House to come forward. I'd be very pleased indeed if anything I've written in this book or done otherwise had any effect on having the Fornethy House survivors included within the SCAI's terms of reference. Of course, that rather assumes that you can trust the SCAI, which is a step too far in terms of assumption for me. Going back to January 2023, I went to Glasgow and spoke to a group of survivors from Fornethy on the 22nd of January 2023. I spoke for about an hour and did my best to answer the questions afterwards. I simply tried to be encouraging of their efforts to try to secure justice for the abuse they had suffered as children. I emphasised the need for a properly trauma-informed method for eliciting free narrative recall accounts from survivors of child sexual abuse. I told them something about the empirical evidence base and how that exercise should be approached. Some survivors told me about their experiences of giving evidence to the SCAI. These accounts were concerning. Anyway, back to Russell Finlay's parliamentary questions. In answer to Russell Finlay's parliamentary question about the note, Charteris answered that its contents were under investigation. For that reason, she was unable to answer any questions about it. As far as I know, that was untrue when it was said. I'd never been contacted by anyone about the note. If its contents were under investigation then or beforehand, that would have been the very first step, a sensible person might think. Apart from attempting to join the obvious dots first, such as asking the people who were in relevant positions at relevant times, when they would certainly have known about relevant matters. Finlay and Mark McCaskill, then of the Sunday Times, agreed and were interested. McCaskill was convinced that the statement by Charteris that an investigation was ongoing gave sufficient information to press the issue of Hardy's alleged conduct as detailed in the note. McCaskill was also sure that he could persuade the Sunday Times to print the allegations about Hardy, which are detailed for investigation in the note. The public interest in establishing the truth was the overwhelming factor in the particular circumstances. McCaskill kept me informed about the Sunday Times preparations for printing Lord Hardy's name as a person alleged to have sexually abused Susie Henderson when she was a wee girl. This allegation is mentioned in my note, but it's clearly out with the terms of reference for the SCAI. The note's more concerned with Hardy's involvement with a boy in care, in whose unit I worked as a residential night care officer in 1996. This was the allegation related to the time when Hardy was Dean of the Faculty of Advocates and just months prior to his appointment as Tony Blair's Lord Advocate in June 1997. You can read about it in the note. McCaskill and the Sunday Times people worked together with Russell Finlay to coordinate an article for publication on Sunday 22nd January 2023. There was regular contact from both during the week before, by phone and by email. They carried out necessary preparations, such as ensuring an affidavit was requested and obtained from Susie Henderson, detailing the allegations she insists in about Hardy. We were all confident that there was no basis for a defamation claim. Even if one was brought by Hardy, it could be comfortably resisted on the evidence as the truth. There's also a public interest defence available now in Scotland. McCaskill repeatedly emphasised that he thought he would get the article, quote, over the line, this time, to publication. We'd discussed a similarly focused article before, way back in 2019. Then, at about 9 p.m. on Friday 20th January 2023, I got a phone call from Jason Allardyce, deputy editor of the Sunday Times Scotland. He explained that after careful consideration, with input and advice from their lawyers. The newspaper had decided not to name Hardy after all. He told me it was the Cliff Richard case that influenced the decision heavily. I couldn't and still can't see how that outrageous invasion of Cliff Richard's right to privacy and family life, involving a helicopter filming live a police search of his home, could have any bearing on the credible and long-standing allegations that have been made about Hardy, a public figure in the legal establishment. The public interest clearly favoured printing. The public interest element here is a powerful and decisive factor, given Hardy's continued position of influence in the legal establishment. Susie Henderson has already been accepted by a jury as credible and reliable in relation to her evidence about having been sexually abused around the same time by Hardy's devil and friend, John Watt, KC. It's clear from what she has said in the public domain that there's still another man who sexually assaulted her. He's still working in the legal system, and you can find that in the media from August 2022. And as I now know, those considerations about the presumption of innocence and what happened to Cliff Richard certainly didn't apply to me. The net effect was that Hardy was protected again. The article they ran was much more timid and circumspect than we had planned, and again, you can find that Sunday Times article on the internet. On Thursday 26th of January 2023, I was visited at home without prior warning or arrangement by two detectives from Police Scotland. The lead officer identified himself as Detective Sergeant John McLeod. He was more than slightly overfamiliar. The other guy was silent throughout, and I think the poor handwriting on the card they left details his name as Detective Constable McCann. McLeod told me they'd travelled from Livingston to take a statement from me in relation to my note. So I was a potential witness for their purposes. He explained that this was thought necessary following the publication of recent articles by, quotes, your friends in the press. I told him that I assumed there had been extensive investigation already, given that note had been reported to Crown Office in May 2019. McLeod was immediately touchy about my comment. They were clearly familiar with the note and its contents. He said that he wouldn't be telling me anything about what had been investigated. He made another reference to my, quotes, friends in the press. It seemed that the media articles by Glover and McCaskill may have riled someone. McLeod certainly appeared to be hurt. I did wonder why, even then. At that stage, McLeod didn't tell me if he was attached to any particular team. I understood them to be part of a major investigations team. Subsequently, I discovered from my own research that McLeod and McCann are part of an investigation team based at Livingston, which services the SCAI. This connection and line of communication caused me concern, for obvious reasons. That stench again. McLeod was also keen to emphasise that taking a statement would take some time. I got the impression that he was telling me that as a disincentive for starting it that day. I kept them at the door. I told them that I was keen to give a statement about the note and related matters. I said I wanted any statement I'd give to be video recorded. This is for accuracy. I've seen police witness statements that bear little resemblance to what the witness actually said. Often it's carved out in the interviewer's handwriting and in the interviewer's words, based on the interviewer's understanding of what the witness has said. I've written a book chapter for an international publication on the subject. You can see it on my ResearchGate page. I've written the first detailed, publicly available formulation of the Scottish Police interviewing model, the Price model. There's a lot of psychological research about investigative interviewing. The lawyers and judges haven't a clue at all about science-based investigative interviewing. They don't think it's a thing. It's their typical insular attitude. If the criminal appeal court thinks that what's happened is fair, based on previous cases, that's it. End of story. There are some real howlers that are still regarded as good law on police interviews in Scotland. Luke Mitchell's an obvious example. The police interviews with Mitchell were shocking. He was 15, and there may be a perception that they're never going to be properly revisited by a Lord Advocate who's the wife of the trial prosecutor, or by a court in which he's one of the main players. Read my ResearchGate chapter, it's in there. The Luke Mitchell case lingers in the news even as I write on the 22nd of July 2023. There are media articles about the case today. The content and detail of training in the Price model are probably just a distant memory for McLeod. It would have been a course he had to attend when he became a detective constable. Refresher training is a rarity. McLeod told me that video recording of any statement I gave couldn't be done, as he didn't know of any facility that could accommodate it. I said it could be done and I knew where. I explained that there was a specialised child interviewing unit near my home in Galashiels. I knew this because I taught the interviewers based there, cops and social workers, on the Scottish Child Interview Model at Scottish Police College at Tully Allen. I'd been meaning since June 2022 to take up their offer and go and visit there at the unit at Eildon View, Galashiels. McLeod said he'd look into it. We agreed that if it could be arranged to video record a statement there, then it could be done on Thursday 2nd of February 2023. That date suited all three of us. It was only a week away. I made sure they had my number in case any problem arose. I was surprised and suspicious of McLeod and McCann. The stench was definitely around. On Monday 30th of January 2023, I missed a call from Police Scotland. When I tried to call back, it seemed to be a generic line, so I didn't try again. I thought no more of it until McLeod left a message on my phone on Wednesday 1st of February 2023. I called him back. He told me he had tried to call me earlier in the week. He told me that he had forgotten he was going on holiday on Thursday 2nd February 2023. I was immediately suspicious, but I didn't know why. I was just a potential witness, a whistleblower. McLeod's whole manner, approach, conversation and agenda disturbed me right from the outset. Anyway, I suggested to him that he should phone me when I returned to work on Thursday 16th of February 2023. We could make arrangements for a video recorded statement then. It would be interesting to see if McLeod actually did go on holiday on those dates. After all, it takes time to organise the effective lockdown of Regional Police Headquarters, HOIC. So on Thursday 16th February 2023, that was the next date on which we'd make arrangements for me to give a statement about the note. McLeod and McCann didn't get back to me on Thursday 23rd of February 2023 at 12:10 hours. They arrived at my home again, unannounced. They'd come all the way from Livingston again. I'll tell you about this after I've told you about the arrest.